such a pleasure to be here at the tabernacle, to be with all of you. I just come to wash your feet because you all have an extra mile to walk. Come on. Praise God. So it's great to be here with all of you. Guess what? That Cadillac I talked about, you know, and it had that, you know, that trunk, big long trunk, 1972 Eldorado Eldoro. And had a trunk so big that in New Jersey we call it a full four-body trunk. And a front end, I mean, the car is over 20 feet long. The one I had the dream of, I own it now. Yeah, a bunch of my sons went out and bought one for me. Yeah, and it only had 15,000 miles on it. It's the same car. You ever remember the car in the movie called Superfly and all those kinds of movies? Yeah, man, I got it. My whole family said, we ain't riding in that. I said, oh, good, because it ain't your car, it's mine. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here. Hey, going on, starting Monday, it'll be my 7th week of recovery for a brand new knee. So that's 2. I figured I'd get me 2 hips next, 2 shoulders next. And now one of my friends had a heart transplant. I thought, now, wow, there's a phenomenal idea. You know, especially you get one with another 40 years on it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That'll be fine, super fine, right, for my supercar. Praise God. It's oh, glory to God. I'm having fun. And glory. How many of you are ready for the word? You ready for the word? I just want to jump in, all right? Can we just jump in the river and flow a little bit this morning? All right, I want you to go with me to Ephesians. And my life scripture, you know, I think we all have certain scriptures that stand out to us. And my life scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And I look at all of life as a warfare. I believe the moment you're born into an adversarial world. I believe the moment you get saved, war has not stopped. Hello? That war is something that the believer and the unbeliever, the war of life is for all. And that all of us will have problems, crisis, and conflicts, but Christ definitely is the answer. The Word of God is the answer. The Word of God is the answer to problems, crisis, and conflicts. And so, but the book of Ephesians, when Paul penned this, I believe Paul is like the theologian of the New Testament. He's really the theologian of Christianity, is Paul. He is the one that set this theological discourse, the theological systematic purposes of it, function of it, throughout the New Testament. In Paul, but he also states, beginning with Ephesians, what I would call the theology of theocratic warfare, the warfare of God, of basically going from a place where we are in, how many of you realize we're in the restoration of Genesis 1? To be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to basically pull down, tear down, to basically take dominion. And we are now in a restoration of that. Ever since Luther, we've been in a restoration process. The whole church has been going through this restoration process, going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And here in Ephesians 1, Paul is setting it up for basically the theology of spiritual warfare. That's really what Ephesians is, in my mind, is really what it's all about. And so And it's a book where he uses every trick in the book, from metaphors to analogies to just everything that he can put in there in order to get this into us. And here in Ephesians 1, in verse 9, Paul begins with this: having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Having made known unto us. Having made known unto us. Paul is saying that there is something that he has discovered, that others have discovered, that they've come into the understanding of, they've come to see, they've come to get a real glimpse of, and it's been known to become known unto him by him. And it says it's the mystery of his will. Now, every one of us has a will. In other words, we have a process of thinking within our minds. We have a way, listen, of communicating with ourselves. How many of you communicate with yourself? Because it says, which he has purposed in himself. It's talking about the will of God that has been thought out within the mind of God. The will of God that has been thought out in the mind of God. There's a vision. There's a mission. There are objectives. There are goals for this congregation. The same thing is true for your individual life. All of that has to come through not only by faith, dreams, and visions, prophetic words, but it also has to be something that is what? Thought out. Thought out. And Paul is literally saying that he and these others, whether they, we could assume primarily he's talking about he and these apostles, but it could also be he, these apostles, prophets, and intercessors, whatever, have come to a place in the presence of God where they have literally heard conversation within the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in communication with one another. See, how many of you have had a talk with yourself? I have talked with myself all day long. Hello? Me, myself, and I, the three of us. And we don't always agree. And so sometimes, you know, we can't get it going because, come on, me, myself, and I are in disagreement. And until we get in one accord, so Paul is saying that they heard a conversation within the Godhead. It's like being in a restaurant, and have you ever heard a conversation at the table next to you? Have you ever been, you know, in proximity where people are talking and you overhear them? Paul is saying that we've come into the presence, we've come into the throne of God, we've come into a heavenly place, a heavenly realm, we've come into a place in the Spirit of God, and we literally heard between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost what was the will of God. Now, how do you know what the will of God is? Because it is the thing, listen, that pleasures him. They heard what pleasures them. See, the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 29:29. You want to take a peek at that? In 29:29, it explains to us very, very clearly in having to do with the will of God in 29:29, and it says this, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever and ever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there's a place, you see, a lot of people, they come into the presence of God because they want a feeling. But nowhere do we see anyone in Scripture coming into the presence of God to get a feeling. I'm not saying they didn't get one. Hello? But I'm not saying that's the why. I'm saying they came there in order to get, are you ready for this? Direction, correction. They came there to get a revelation. They came there because they had come to the end of their rope, the end of their knowledge, and they needed a secret revelation. They needed something. So God takes his secret things when you enter into the secret place, and there's a divine exchange of wisdom and knowledge, of impartation, of strategy, whatever, correction, direction that he gives to us for the purpose of our fulfilling the intended mission or assignment that he has for us. And so Paul, when he's speaking here, he's talking about, this is what Deuteronomy's talking about, is what has happened to Paul and these others in the presence of God. And in this, God is talking about very clearly that which pleasures him. It says, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And then it goes on and talk. How many of you want to know what pleasures God? Now, I hear many talking about the fact,
well, you know, God's not moving in the earth today. God's not moving in the earth today.
Well, I don't know where you're moving, but where I'm moving, God's moving.
Well, yeah, but you're going to the nations, and that's the only place God's moving.
No. No, God's moving at the tabernacle. Because I'm very particular, and I'm also cranky. And when you're my age, you see there's one advantage you have of being over 70, and that is you do whatever you want. You say whatever you want. Because being over 70 is like being a boy all over again. Because, you know, when you were a boy and you said and did whatever you wanted, you know, they would go, well, you know, he's just a boy. But, you know, but when you're over 70, hello, and you say and do whatever you want, they go, he's an old guy. That's the way they are. It's the way they roll. And in my case, it happens to be very true. So, hello? So I only go where he is. I don't like to go where he's been and they're still shook up over it. Hello? Well, yeah, God was here 100 years ago. Well, that's wonderful. Well, how about now? I want to be where he is. And there's a remnant all over this world. It's not that God's moving greater in Africa than he is here or greater in Europe. Come on. He's moving where the people of the presence are. He's moving where the remnant is. And so God is moving, and the church is moving with him. And also, God is pleased. Hear me, God is pleased. He's a father. He's a father looking for children that will do greater works. But he's pleased with the church. In other words, I honestly believe that God is happy. Hello? You see, I'm a grandpa. Many of you are parents, granddads, grandmoms. Remember when we have the children up here? Don't you love it when the children come up and they sing and they dance? But let's be honest. They're terrible. They're terrible. Come on. Your children couldn't hold a key. Seriously. Seriously, they dance. Seriously, they dance somewhere between a frenzy and palsy, and they forget their steps. They forget the words to the song. I mean, come on, they're a disaster up here. But we all love it. We love it. We are clapping. We are. That's my Letitia. Henry, that's Henry. Henry just fell on the floor in the middle of the dance routine. But he's ours. But you see, the thing is, the thing that pleases us is not just because they're ours, it's because they're ours that are trying. You know? I mean, we're not looking for the execution, we're looking for the try. And see, God is not looking for the perfection. That's some grouchy old preacher like me looking for the perfection. Hello? But he's not looking for the perfection, he's looking for the effort, he's looking for the try. And with any people that have a heart after him, and a desire to come into his presence, come on, and that want to serve him, that want to put their faith into action, he's like, yeah, hello? He's pleased, but you see something? See, when you're pleased, you're happy. You got a smile on your face. I'll tell you something. I just had a cookie in the back room because there's something about a cookie that draws me. Pleases me. Just absolutely pleases me. I'm a grandpop. My granddaughter, she wants a cookie. She goes to her mother, can I have a cookie? Mother goes, you can have one cookie. Just one. Because dinner is in 4 hours. She goes to my son-in-law, Dad, Daddy, can I have a cookie? Yes, you can. You can have three cookies. Three, because dinner is in an hour. She comes to Pop-Pop. Pop-Pop, yes, sweetheart, can I have a cookie? Here's the box, baby. And by the way, go in the secret place, the bathroom, and shut the door and eat your cookies. Because dinner's in 15 minutes. She wanted to know how to spell my name. About 2 years ago, and she was trying to write Pop, P-O-P, P-O-P, and I said, wait a minute, sweetheart, that's only my first name. She said, your first name? I said, my first name's Pop-Pop. What's your second name, Pop-Pop? Fun-Fun. Hello? Because I'm telling you, that little girl pleases me. Mm-hmm. Yes, she went to the daddy-daughter dance last night and had her dress on. I was showing everybody her picture. Everybody kept saying, where's her father? I said, who cares about him? This is my granddaughter. You don't need to see him. This is my granddaughter. I'm over 70. I'm not politically correct, even with the family. Hello? But you see, pleasure. See, the thing that we want to know, see, I'm telling you, God is already pleased. But the thing is, where are we going to be in the future? Because we're to go from glory to glory, amen? And we're to go from faith to faith. And the only way to get from glory to faith, come on, glory to glory and faith to faith is that old gospel song, change, change, change. Because if you because in order to get to your next glory or your next faith, you've got to change. Romans 8 says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But it also tells us that the creature's waiting for what? The manifestation, the progressive maturity is what that means of the sons of God. Not manifestation, they show up, but that they grow up. And you see, when you're a seeker of the presence, in order to listen, to get the secret thing for your life, that pleases him. That pleases him. That's what that does. That pleases him. Last night, we were sitting in the restaurant. Some places, he's Dr. Hurd. I've been with him when he's been called Bishop Hurd, Apostle Hurd, Daddy Hurd, Pop-Pop Hurd. Frankly, he and I rather be Pop-Pop and Dada. Come on, even with ministers, the leaders that we work with, because that's relationship. You know, the others are titles, and, you know, and they have honor and respect to them. But I've heard him, you know, and he's a patriarch. He's many things. And we're sitting there, and when we come together, it's like we've been together like the other day, even though it was a year ago. And or we come together in some nation. And when we come together, there's something that happens to us, and it's like, we're going in and out of two realms at the same time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so he took me to Haggai 2. And in Haggai 2, well, can we go there? Let's go to Haggai and, oh, glory to God. And let's just take a real quick peek. And in Haggai 2, it talks about prayer and coming into prayer and then to go upward. To go upward. Now we both got caught up in a Holy Ghost moment. And in that Holy Ghost moment, as I'm looking at upward, I'm thinking of Habakkuk and where he says, and I will watch to see what you'll say unto me. Because when you get into the realm of the Holy Ghost, he begins to speak to us in metaphors, and he begins to speak to us in ways where he's trying to show us a secret thing. He's trying to show us a mystery. And you look at the word upward, and you're like, yeah, okay, upward. But that wasn't the way it was happening, because it was all of a sudden, it was a revelation to me. Now, I know that a long time before me, it was a revelation to Dr. Hurd, to Apostle Hurd, because we're seeing it in another way that, wait a minute, shouldn't it be with Habakkuk, I will wait to hear what you will say, and shouldn't it be with Haggai that I should, you know, after prayer, I should go onward? But you see, we've got to go upward before we can go onward. Because what it's talking about is that we are called up the mountain. Hello? We're called up the mountain. We're called to the top so that we can have authority and control and influence over that which is below. Are we getting this? And what hit me about that, that's what set up this morning and what I'm saying to you and what he was sharing. And because, in other words, you've got to get up so that you can look down and see what it is that he's trying to show us. Because in order to have dominion, you've got to get to the top. It's not enough to be fruitful. It's not enough to multiply. You've got to get to the top. And so as we look back here in Ephesians 1, and Paul is sharing this with us, and he says this to us. He says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So he's saying that there is a time that called the dispensation. That word dispensation means outpouring. The early church had everything moving in it. It went into the dark ages. With Luther, God began to restore truth, began to restore moves of the Spirit. This church was hit by a revival years ago. I believe that there's still a revival spirit here. Hello? But it's of a different nature now. It's of another mature level. It's another glory. It's another faith that God is moving you into. And so as we look at that, we see that in the dispensation, that simply means outpouring. That's what that means. Some of you are looking funny. I'm putting... This isn't a Catholic church or a Buddhist temple. This is a building, all right? Hello? The sacred thing is in you. Hallelujah. All right. Besides the rug, well, anyway. So what gives God pleasure is that when we come under that which he's pouring out, the dispensation. And the first thing is fullness. The church has to come into fullness. Come on. Can I tell you a story? When I get on an airplane, and I know all these ministers, they talk about how they witness and lead people to the Lord on planes. I think I've done it once. And when I get on a plane, I want to be left alone. I'm tired. I'm either resting up for where I'm going or I'm worn out from where I was. And so I get on a plane and I sit down. Normally I'm in business. And so I sit down and the only person I want to talk to is wearing a uniform. Hello? And they always ask this one question. What would you like to drink, sir? What would you know? I like those questions. But when you're in business class, the person next to you is also there for 90% of the time for business. And so they'll say this to you. Going to work or going home? And you give the appropriate answer. Well, I'm going to work or I'm going home. You know, how about you? Well, I'm going to work or I'm going home. And then the second question they ask is this. What do you do? And I always give this answer. I am a Pentecostal preacher. And I always get this response. Oh yeah. I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of things I got to catch. Hope you don't mind if I don't talk. No, I don't mind. Because hardly anybody wants to talk to a Pentecostal preacher. So I make sure that's what I declare I am. You know, and so anyway, I'm on this one plane, and this is going back over 20-some years ago, and I said, I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and he goes, what kind of minister are you? And I said, and I'm thinking, what kind? Wow, no one ever asked me that. And I thought, all right, well, I'm an evangelical. So I said, well, I'm evangelical like Billy Graham. He went, oh. And I said, but I'm fundamental, like, believing in the fullness, I believe in the Word of God as stated, like Jerry Falwell. Oh. And I said, but I'm Pentecostal, signs, wonders, miracles, like Oral Roberts. Oh, really? Oh, I got a lot of work to do. I got to get things done. I hope you don't mind if I don't talk. So, but the thing that really dawned on me is that we're not to be the church of the one way. Hello? Because at the same time, we're to be word of faith. But wait a minute, we're to be latter rain. We're to be manifest son. We're to be charismatic, Pentecostal. Is somebody with me here? You know, I began to realize, I was telling somebody recently, they wanted to know what kind of minister I was. I said, well, I'm Baptist. They said, oh, you're Baptist. I said, well, I'm not Southern Baptist, but I mean, I'm not Southern, but I'm Baptist. I mean, I'm from New Jersey. How can I be Southern? But I believe in immersion. But at the same time, I said, but I'm also a Methodist. They said, you're a Methodist minister? I said, yeah, I'm a Methodist minister because I believe in methods, tactics, strategies. And they were like, but I'm also a Presbyterian minister because I believe in the plurality of elders in the local church. And I also believe in the reformation of culture, that the church has a role to reform cities and nations to the glory of God. So they went, wow. But I said, I'm also Episcopalian because I believe that God sets a bishop over the church. But at the same time, you know, I'm Catholic because in the sense that I believe that Christianity should be universal, covering the entire world with the glory of God. And so somebody says, well, you're a word of faith. I said, yeah, I'm word of faith plus. You know, well, you know, are you know, are you a grace teacher? Yeah, I'm grace plus. Hello. Because I mean, have you ever been in a church where all they do is teach and preach on deliverance, demon deliverance? The whole crowd just sitting there manifested. Hello. And the pastor always wonders when they get healed why they leave. Who wants to be in a psychiatric ward all their life? You know, we got churches where it's all about healing, but after you get healed, hello? You ever been in churches where it's all about, you know, the prayer lines getting healed? Well, what do you do after you're healed? You just sit there and watch prayer lines now for the next 20 years. You know, we got churches where they preach faith 52 Sundays of the year. It's like a special ed class for people that can't learn faith, you know? You ever go to a prosperity church where the only person is the preacher that's wealthy, everybody else is poor? You ever notice that? But it's because they lack what? Fullness. I believe in prosperity. I believe in all those things. But you have to what? You have to have fullness. So he's talking here about fullness and then he says, how do you know when you have the fullness of times? And that's when he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So it's really talking about heaven and earth coming together. See, what is heaven? We have this thing that heaven is in some geographical celestial realm somewhere between Mars and Jupiter and just left of the sun. Hello? But heaven is a place without time or space. Because heaven is wherever he is heaven. Heaven is wherever the presence is. And see, but we have believers, listen, we have Pentecostal, pent-up Pentecostals, I might add. We have Pentecostals because they've been hanging in the salt shaker too long and have gotten stale. But we got pent-up Pentecostals, and they believe that the whole purpose of our salvation was to get saved and go to heaven. Well, if that's true, pray to drop dead, because you're not fulfilling your mission till you get there. Hello? Because you did not get saved to go to heaven. That has to do with the process of sanctification in your life. Hello? But here's what you got saved for. You got saved to bring heaven to earth. You got saved not only to bring a message, but to bring a referendum. You got saved, listen, to change the economics and the geopolitical systems of this world. The Bible begins in Genesis 1 as a book of spirituality. He breathes, he speaks, and it comes into being. The miraculous begins. At the same time, he says what? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish. Come on. And he's talking about what? Economics. Then he says subdue, which is not only spiritual warfare, it is the establishment of governmental authority. Governmental authority, not only over yourself, over your marriage, over your family, over the church, but also the influence of those, come on, of those jurisdictional realms into all areas of the market and workplace, education, and every field of endeavor that you can think of. That everywhere we go is to be heaven. So that we, when we come and we walk into, come on, last night walking in Sawgrass was Herd and Kelly. Hello? Nobody knows that he's a doctor, I'm a doctor. Nobody knows bishop, apostle, any of that. But here's something. We still must walk in there as kings and priests. Hello? As kings, we walk in with jurisdictional governmental authority. And as priests, we walk in there bringing heaven. And our conversation is such. We're going from one to another. We're pushing one another's buttons. We're pushing revelation. Come on. We're going from revelation to indignation. Come on. I mean, to give saturation, frustration. We're doing the whole thing in one conversation. Come on. Because we're in and out of heaven and earth. Somebody's got to get this. You see, I don't know about you, but I have to be in the secret place 100 to 200 times a day minimally. That's what Paul meant, pray without ceasing. Hello? Now, I've heard these preachers go, when you have arrived, as I have. By the way, dare not touch the anointed one. I don't want to touch you anyway. Besides, the Bible don't even say that. It says, dare not touch thy anointed ones, meaning the assembly, the congregation, and then do our prophets no harm. Well, come on. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, we're the addendum. God's after the crowd. Oh, Jesus. So, but there's this thing where I pray so much because I'm so spiritual. No, you pray so much because you're so carnal. See, I have to pray a lot because I am a man. Hello? You have to pray so much because you're a man, because you're a woman. And there are thoughts that go through. Because you see, I cannot handle earth if I'm not in heaven. Because even though I'm here, I'm there. And even though I'm there, I've got to be here. Because I'm not of that world, but I'm in it. But I'm in it to be a king and a priest to it. And you see, that's what he's talking about here. And that is our, and it tells us back in verse 11, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There it is, the counsel of his own will. The Father and the Son are talking about what is their will, and they're saying that the predestined inheritance is you bringing heaven and earth together. Because Christ is in you, you're in Christ, and if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, you're in heaven. Hello? That's why your temple is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. Not this building, you. But we need this building. So, praise God. So now as we look here, I want you to see this. Oh, glory to God. Help me, Lord. Heaven and earth. Jesus is on the throne. He's sitting there. They're in conversation. The conversation is having to do with the will of God. And they're talking about what gives the Father pleasure. What gives the Son pleasure? What gives the Holy Ghost pleasure? because he's not coming. They're not, the Father and the Holy Ghost are not letting the Son off of the throne. He's like a horse at a gate, ready to go at any moment. You know, is she ready? Is she ready? No, she's not ready. Because, you see, he's not coming back for the church that pleases him. He's coming back for the church that pleasures him. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that looks like. If I tried to tell you I did, I'd be, I don't know, a spiritual butterfly. I don't know, but that's not what it is. But there will be from the secret place revelations that we will not only be revealed to us, that we will be walking into in the future, bringing heaven and earth together, that will cause him to come off the throne. Because he will be in such pleasure. See, when we're pleased looking at those children, we're happy, we're in control, right? But when you're in pleasure, you're not in control. I don't know if it starts in your head or your toes or what, but your hormones, your emotions, your physicality, you even lose your mind momentarily under pleasure. Why are you looking at me funny? Some of you look like you need a course just in pleasure. But that's what pleasure is. It's talking about extreme, an extreme thing here. And so as we look at this heaven and earth thing, I want you to, well, glory to God, Revelation, thank you, Jesus. In Revelations, Revelation 21:1. And I saw, this is John speaking, and I saw a new heaven. Everybody say new heaven. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now, hear me on this. The old heaven, which was a garden named Eden, but was to be a paradise, not a garden. Because man was to take the things from heaven, put them in order and cultivate them and multiply them, and was going to change that garden into what? A new heaven. Because paradise was to be heaven on earth. And not only was it to be, it wasn't to be a geographical place, no. Because when fullness comes, expansion comes. And paradise was to expand to the place that it would cover the entire earth with the glory of God. Now the glory of God resides not in a geographical place. God resides not in a building. It resides inside of mankind, the male and the female together. And so, but we also have earth. Now, here it's talking in Ephesians 1, Paul's talking about we're bringing heaven to earth and we're bringing earth to heaven. What is he really talking about? The same thing John is talking about. They are talking about, literally, they are talking about authority and rule over all things. Education, the media, the arts, the military, government, business, all of these things. And also, they're talking about ecology. Oh, glory. They're talking about the resources that's in the land. And so, here, this will help you. When I say heaven, I want you to say atmosphere. Because he dwells in atmospheres. My daughter came into my office several years ago, and she said, Daddy, I got to ask you a question. I said, what? She said, you were in all this rough stuff when you were young. She said, but your office is gaudy, Daddy. It really is. If I had time, I'd describe it to you. And she said, Dad, why is your office so gaudy? I said, I'll tell you why, baby. I said, I got all that gold and green in there, and I got all that, you know, brass in there, and I got, you know what, baby, it really is gaudy, isn't it? And I said, but baby, I said, when I get to heaven, I don't want to have culture shock.
I'm just trying to get a little atmosphere in the place. But atmosphere counts. It really does. Hello? I'll never forget the first time I preached in a holiness, you know, Pentecostal holiness type convention. And I was sitting there, and I'm a Jersey boy, you know, and I had to go south to do this. And I never, you know, the only time I was in the south was with football. And so I'm there, and I'm sitting there at the thing, and they said to me, "You all right? You look like something wrong." I said, "Well, I never been in a room with so many ugly women in all my life, you know." And they looked at me, and they said, "What do you mean ugly women?" I said, "What have you done with these women? These women got no makeup. They got no jewelry. They got no, I mean, they haven't been in a beauty parlor in years. I mean, they don't even have necks or ankles, you know?" And he said, "Is that what really bothers you?" I said, "No, what really bothers me is the men." I said, "You know, that what really bothers me. I said, you got to change the atmosphere in here." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You got to let them sisters paint up a little bit and glorify their hair and all, you know?" And he said, "Well, what about the men?" I said, "I've never been in a room with so many pretty men. All these guys got Elvis Presley hairdos and patent leather shoes and yellow suits and purple suits and never saw suits like that. Hello?" I said, "You got an atmosphere going here." Oh, glory to God. I better stop. I'm getting in trouble. But earth is environment. It's the environment. So, and I saw a new heaven, atmosphere. Say atmosphere every time I say heaven. In a new earth, environment. Say environment. So here we go again. I saw a new heaven in a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now, he's talking about bringing all that together in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Only Jesus is the redemption of the purchased possession. He purchased us with his blood. He purchased us with his sacrifice on the cross. He purchased my soul. He purchased my mind. He purchased my heart. He purchased my body. He purchased my very existence. He has purchased the destiny of the church of the blood-bought, born-again believer. He has purchased it with the price that he paid on that cross. And at the same time that he purchased it, he rose up in the praise of his glory on a day called Resurrection Sunday, where that rock was rolled away and that man of glory rose again. And in his power, there was a transfer of Pentecostal power, of faith, a Pentecostal power of words of wisdom and words of knowledge. All of the things that are necessary for the saints of God, all of the fruit and all of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the gifts of the ministry, so that we can change this earth, and we can bring a new heaven to this earth and a new earth, come on, church, for the glory of God, changing the atmosphere and the environment for the King of Kings and the High Priest of our faith, Jesus, the Savior of all.